Hey guys, just a heads up. So for patrons who subscribe on the Patreon going forward, they'll get the podcast roughly the day after we record it. So for example, I just recorded one live on Thursday. I'm going to make sure this is up for the patrons by Friday, basically. So I'm trying to speed up the schedule a bit because sometimes we talk about time-sensitive stuff or things that are relevant for the timing of it. So I wanted to make sure it gets up quickly. So yeah, for patrons, it'll be up the day after. And then for non-patrons, for you guys on YouTube, it'll be up 2 days after that. So by the 3 days after I record, roughly speaking. So yeah, just a bit of a quicker schedule for you guys who want to make sure that you get the podcast when the news is really relevant for you. So yeah, enjoy the podcast, guys. And thank you for everyone that helps support us on Patreon. Take care. All right, welcome, guys, to Prepared, episode 33. 34, 35, your weekly TVC breakdown. Today we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. We got the community council launched in between. So we've basically been waiting a few weeks for some news, and it feels like 2 weeks went by and nothing was announced at all for TVC, and then suddenly in half a week, suddenly a lot of stuff happened. So yeah, we got all the community council stuff we want to talk about. We want to talk about the raid testing for phase 3 back Black Temple and all of that. The raid nerfs went in, attunements are removed. Then we got a little bit of season of mastery stuff as well. But yeah, we're just catching up. How are you doing this week, Zareen?
I'm doing well.
Are you still on your sleeping schedule? Apparently not.
I mean, it's good enough right now. I now raid 6 days a week, so I finally have 6 characters that are all attuned and geared.
I tuned into your stream for a couple minutes the other day, and I saw that not only do you have like one paladin on horde you raid on, but you have like 2 apparently.
Yeah, I play 3 prop paladins. Getting a prop paladin geared by a guild that wants you to play prop paladin for them is probably the easiest fucking thing in the entire world. Like, both guilds gave me basically like full rides. I feel like that kid who got a scholarship to Harvard, except I'm way less cool. They just were like, oh, we're going to run you through every attunement. And then I do one SSCTK. I sit there. I parsed zeros on a few fights last week and the week before. And then you just fill in all the gaps with whatever you need to, like engineering goggles. You make the belt, you make the blacksmithing boots, and then you just run around and try to get all the pieces of gear that you can to be able to tank the next week, and then just get everything again. So all three of my paladins are like almost full bis, minus like 1, 2, or 3 pieces. Like, it was really great because my Blood Elf female was running around with Fang of the Leviathan and a green shield with like 2K armor on it. So that was fun when I was doing heroics and people were inspecting me.
That sounds like how we've been gearing our Boomkin replacements, because our current Boomkin retired because he was sick of apparently pressing like 2 buttons on all raid. So we were stuck in this weird point where we're like, well, we have like 3 rogues. One of the rogues should probably become the Boomkin. But none of us really want to play Boomkin, because how many people actually do want to play Boomkin on raid? And so our alternative is we all level Boomkins and we take turns on our week that we sit to play Boomkin. So people are literally like, the rogues are literally bringing in Boomkins where they're in full feral greens coming into raid and passing like ones. And literally anything will drop with any sort of spell power. It can be a healing item, and we're like, oh, that's the Boomkin item. That's the Boomkin item right there. Because the casters do not care. They just want to have the Boomkin there. No one actually cares about how the Boomkin is performing. They just want the buff.
Is he giving crit? Perfect. Is he keeping Imp Fairy Fire up for the melee and, or I guess the physical DPS? And is he using Nex? That's all they care about. Just run a dream state. So actually, I don't want to say fun fact because I can't verify this, but in all of the guilds that I'm in, the dream state druid is like the shakiest role right now in all of them. People do not like playing dream state. Like, it's like I'm a boomkin who doesn't damage, but I'm a healer who heals less than normal. So they just feel like they're in this in-between spot. And they, you, if you have a dream state druid, you probably need to compensate them a bit, or else they're going to maybe quit the game. So, yeah, I've seen like 5 dream state druids leave the game already.
Yeah, it's apparently it's not very fun to in general to only have like a couple things you can do and then not be very good at them.
Yeah, and he says like if you have a druid with the right mindset, the problem is even if you have the right mindset, it's just a worse version of both those things combined. It's very, very hard. They're doing a more engaging play style and contributing more than a normal boomkin would or a normal healer. I mean, they're just doing a hybrid of both the parts of both that they want in raid without being good at the other two. It's kind of then a resto. I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily true. Because if you didn't have a boomkin or anything like that, the resto would still be fairy firing without the imp fairy fire. I actually know some guilds that are dropping the imp fairy fire altogether for some reason. They're just making their melee use 9% hit. It's not that hard as a tank to use 9% hit, actually. Pretty like simple with your gear. But then they just run warlocks. So, and the warlocks don't need the boomkin.
Oh, I will say, Zyrene, it has been, we recruited a rep paladin, and we, for the first time since, I don't know, I can't remember when, my raid has 3 paladins, and I actually have all 3 buffs. I will say, it is a lot easier to play rogue with 3 buffs. I never have to worry about threat anymore on the bow. Everything is so much easier. I've almost forgotten, like, oh, right, this is what it's like when you're not riding the threat line from your first global.
You guys were not using 3 paladins?
Yeah, since I think like phase 1 sometime.
So wait, what guild was this?
my white main guild.
Okay, I was like, do you guys need a paladin, huh? No. Oh god.
But yeah, apparently having 3 buffs is actually really nice. And
it is. Yeah. Salve is very, very important.
No longer am I terrified on every boss encounter of pulling threat right at the start. It's actually quite a big difference.
What tank do you use? Is it like
we use Bear now. We actually stopped using any warrior tanks for the most part. It's just gone full Bear for everything.
Yeah, it's kind of what a lot of guilds have been doing. Just full Bear, making sure that they... because another thing too is like if you're running a rogue at all, exposed armor kind of really cucks the threat of the warrior mid fight. So yeah, we have some encounters where I'm on my warrior and I really feel the lack of gear on my warrior. I don't think on a tank I've ever really felt I've never really felt like I needed gear to hold threat, but on my warrior, I really feel it. Because I don't have mace and I don't have belt or gloves for expertise. So I'm really behind on expertise. And so having like a shield slam on pull miss or I guess get dodged or parried, very common, very common. And it feels like forever before you can actually recover from that. So if something's not tauntable, you're probably just going to lose it. So,
well, you know what that means, Irene. Time to level a bear for you.
Yeah. I mean, bears are strong. They are very strong. I think my biggest issue with bears is, I guess I've never liked the idea of having the same character look for all of the game. You know, like once you get bear form, you're literally bear for rest of game. You never see your character's gear progression. Just the weapon, I guess, if you ever use like a noggin fogger.
It's true. So. Oh, did you actually get to do your raid, by the way, on Tuesday? How did your DDoS Tuesday go?
My DDoS Tuesday was, I had company over, and I was DC'd from the game for like 45 minutes. We killed Solarian, and nobody could loot her or see what the loot was. Everybody DC'd. By the time we got back in, her body was gone, so we got no Solarian loot. We played Scriblio for like 30 minutes, which was actually a good guild activity during that time. But then by the time the servers came back up, we only had 19 people online, so we 19-man KT, which was very, 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 very easy and doable. So
hey, similar experience. We killed Hydros, then we went to straight to Vash because apparently you can do that now.
Yes.
And
yes.
then the servers went down and we had to 20 man the rest of the buses that we could. So basically it, because half the people couldn't get back in. There were the shenanigans where the raid instances were up for a while, but the world servers were down on subservers.
Yeah, that was really weird.
So yeah, we literally had people who could log in, but they couldn't log in if they were in the open world. And it was, which is limited to people that were somehow still in the raid in the instance.
I may or may not have ordered boba, so.
Oh, wait, what flavor? What flavor? I got this. Be careful, Zyrene. You will be judged here based on your boba preference.
Uh-oh. Rather not say then.
Oh, that doesn't look like a traditional flavor from the coloring of what I'm seeing being ingested. No,
strawberry milk tea.
Oh, that is not one of the preferred flavors, Irene.
Mm-hmm. I understand. It's a white man's boba.
That's okay. You can redeem yourself next time you order a taro, and that's like going the full other
way. But yeah, you get the...
You get the street cred. Purple, you get the street cred if you order the taro milk tea.
I'll keep that in mind. Yeah. Next time I have boba in public.
All right. So I did want to bring this up that guys that we are still, you guys haven't seen. Wait, let me move this over here. We are still waiting for anything to address the massive clump of people stuck in PvP2s right now. So in EU right now, the top 70 teams or 71 teams are above 2,900 rating now in twos. And everyone's just kind of stuck at the top there, that 3,126 MMR. So Blizzard still hasn't done anything about it, unfortunately. I don't know if they will or if they even have the resources to do something. So because it sounds like they're super, super busy with the small team they have right now. But it's been a little bit rough. A little bit rough for the people stuck at the top right now because they're kind of just stuck. And Mir's busy apparently getting every character to rank one. So
yeah, it's I was talking to him about it, and one of the things that came up was theoretically, if a bunch of people are 3,126. Then you could have an infinite number of merciless gladiators and then have zero gladiators. Because if like 400 people, if 400 people are tied for 3,126, they all get merciless. And then it would go and the system should go and go, okay, what's the next highest percent? And if that's like the 2% or like 1% or something like that, it skips gladiator. Right?
Well, yeah, it jumps down to like whatever the next rank is. So like you don't even have like two to like whatever it is. It just jumps to like 400 or something.
Yeah, because in like sports and leaderboards and things like that, if you, me, and like a third person are tied in chat or tied, you know, for something, it says all of us are first place, and then the person who's next is fourth. Right? It doesn't say that they're tied for second or whatever. It's like these guys are 1-1-1, and this guy is fourth. So technically, we could have infinite merciless gladiators, and then you'll probably have zero gladiators if enough people get 3,126.
Yeah, but I mean, rank one is already on EU 2,954. There's not really much room for them to go up. Like, they can go up a little bit more, and then they're still stuck there. So it's like a really, really weird. It hasn't really happened much on NA, just because NA ladder is honestly really dead compared to EU. But we will see what happens in the next few weeks. Maybe they address it. Maybe they don't. And then we get a lot of shenanigans. If nothing else, it'll be interesting content for the final day. There's people try to somehow do something to each other to tie at 3,126 for rank one.
A lot of bans going to be coming out. A lot of bans.
How many people will Evizura get banned this time? I think someone was... someone came in my chat and they calculated how many people... like glad spots Evizura costed with his hands.
Really?
And he was like, Evizura was responsible for 40 teams not getting glad or something like that.
That's actually super fucking funny. Holy shit. How long do you think the season's gonna be? Two more weeks?
I mean, that's a good point. I feel like PTR's always been, 4 weeks, right? So it feels like another 3 weeks or something. But then again, PTR hasn't come back up. We don't know. We still don't know what's going on with PTR because they brought it up for like one day and then they took it down again. Almost like was it one day and then it was gone?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was one day.
One day.
Which is really weird. Some people have some theories where it was somebody said PTR wasn't supposed to come up, was one of the theories, was they didn't realize that they had turned it on after they updated it. People went in and then they were like, well, fuck it. The other one was they realized the content was too easy and they're buffing it. What they did is they purposely made it easy or gave you the nerfed numbers on things so that they can get data. Because if you put the PTR on and everybody's stuck at Mother and nobody can make it to like Illidan or Council, you don't get any data on those encounters and you don't know if there's any bugs. So one of the other theories was everything's in its nerfed state so that it's easy to do. And they can get a lot of data and be like, what is bugged, what is not bugged, encounter-wise, and then they go from there and just buff numbers. So that's one of the other thoughts. I hope that one is true. So.
Did you actually get to do PTR? Because I'm not sure. Yeah, my guild planned to do PTR, but then it came down before our PTR day came up, so we didn't even like get to hop on PTR at all to check it out.
Yep. Exactly what happened with us as well. We had a schedule for it. And it was like,
yeah, so I really hope it's the nerfed, it's the fact that they thought it was maybe like too easy and then they're going to like ramp it up and then we'll see harder version because it seemed fairly easy. That's what I got from a lot of people that actually went on PTR. They came back and were like, hey, Snow, is phase 3 meant to be this easy compared to phase 2? Because entire guilds were and just pugs were just beating everything. Oh, on PTR, apparently.
Yeah, now keep in mind that people were clearing PTR still on Phase 2 content, but one of the big things about Phase 2 content was the last two bosses were bugged. Well, I guess Vaj was in like a really fucking difficult state because of the mind controls and shit, and Kael'thas was just bugged. So, you know, that made those encounters a lot harder and made it...
So what you're saying is they need to make them unbeatable and just completely scuffed so that no one can beat them.
Exactly. That's when the content looks hard.
But how long do you... So let's say they bring PTR back up because there's been some talk that they'll bring it back up sometime this week, maybe. But how long do you think they should actually bring up PTR if they bring it back up? Because there's always that question of if they bring it back up and then it's like it's too easy or too many people beat it and it kind of kills a little bit of the hype if there's too much practice on it and such.
I mean, yeah. I think they should have it up for like only a few days if they're going to do that. But I also think that they announced it ahead of time, but I also think they should take it down and not leave it up for the whole phase. The fact that like Europe had no access to PTR, speed running stuff became a lot more difficult. Even though progress has ended the phase as the number one SSC by like almost 2 minutes. So there's that.
They're just progress things.
My favorite part about that was TNB's log, the Chinese guild that came out of nowhere and got like a 40-minute run, which is 2 minutes faster than the next one. So basically like progress is like 38:50. TNB is 40:30, and then everybody else is 42. So, like, TNB is 2 minutes faster than Overclock, Fusion, etc. And then Progress is 2 minutes faster than TNB. But what happened was TNB put their log up on the 11th, and their log's name is 1211, all capital A's, China number one. So when they got the number one log in SSC, their fucking log was named China number one. And then the next day, progress runs, and their log is titled EU number one. So, but I'm glad Gnome Boy saw what TNB did with their log name and followed up after. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
So how long do you think it will be before... Phase 3, based on that we're getting like PTR now.
I think it should. I think it's going to be like, I want to say early January.
Because early January is what, like two, three weeks? 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
One, two, yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like
pretty much
like,
2 weeks in a bit.
Yeah. I would say like 3 weeks is what I think.
3 weeks? Because last time, I mean, looking back at the previous times, it's always been about like 3-4 weeks after PTR goes up, but that's when they launch the next phase. Usually not very announced. And by the way, this is Blizzard. I don't know if you guys listen, but if you guys are listening, this is a good time to give people schedules now with it, like, you know, coming up. Maybe people can have a clue when the next stuff is coming. This would be a good timing window.
Yeah.
Good timing window to bring these things up. So that people have a clue to plan out like their next phase stuff and plan out their raid schedules and such. Especially with the holidays right now, it'd be really bad. Someone was in my guild was joking, like, imagine if Blizzard just flipped the switch and was like, hey guys, phase 3 comes out December 24th. December 24th for phase 3.
Well, fuck you, family. We done. Yeah. Yep, that's it. I mean, you don't need to call off work then, I guess. You're good. My biggest fear is people are really going to be underprepared for shadow res because you need a lot of like primal shadows. Those are just probably going to shoot up in price, right? People who are going to start preparing their shadow res gear. Also, one of my guilds has been doing something that's really interesting. It might actually be good, which surprisingly is what they've done is basically because tier pieces in like tier 4 basically rot now. People are taking second tier 4 chest and shoulders and like putting void spheres into them. You don't do anything with void crystals anyway right now. So like all the enchanters in the guild are just getting void crystals and then using their cooldowns and stuff. So yeah, they're slamming void spheres into tier pieces that they get copies of so that they can have more stats for the encounter.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic. Before we move on from the Black Temple stuff, is how much shadow resist do you think will be needed? Because that's like the only real block it seems the most good. It's like how much shadow resist? Because the problem is people come and ask me that a lot nowadays, and I tell them I don't know because we don't know how hard Mother is actually going to be when she launches. And there were reports of people going in with basically no shadow res and still being able to do the fight in some cases depending on the class. And it's really hard to tell, but from what I can guess, it seems like most people that are bringing shadow res are literally just going in there with gems and enchants and not worrying about the other stuff for the most part. Just gems and enchants with shadow res.
I'm not sure either. It definitely feels like what I saw was everybody that had access to shadow res used it and it made it very trivial. But if they did have like low shadow res, it didn't seem to be like a major problem, because it's a bit RNG, right? Yeah, it was the nerfed version of Mother, so we can't base things off of the PTR. Yeah, it's what it seems like, but like Snow said, we don't know the actual numbers. We don't know what she's going to be like. I don't know how much shadow res either, but we saw people do it without. We saw people do it with. I would just say, you can never have too much right now up until cap, right? Because you'd rather be prepared and not need it. And then you'd rather be prepared now and then end up not needing it and having the option and making it easier for your guild than be like, well, we can't kill this because we don't have shadow res. That would be the worst part.
Well, a good thing I saved my Blackwing Lair shadow resist chest. I was looking at some of that old stuff and thinking, man, is it even... It is not worth losing all these stats just for the shadow res. I look at it and think, man, I lose so much stats wearing some of this old shadow resist gear I have from Classic. Just like, you're getting into very low value there. Very low value. Yeah, like someone in chat is saying, the shadow jerkin. The shadow jerkin from Blackwing Lair. Big shadow resist. I literally only keep that shadow gear because I wanted to troll warlocks and duels and just see them react when you wear 300 shadow resist. But yeah, a lot of that stuff is not super, super, I think, useful in a lot of cases because you lose so much stats. You lose so much stats. So it looks like, for the most part, at least, it seems like most people are just relying on enchants and jamming for their resist.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's going to be enough. Like, I don't know. I have full, like, I have full Shadow Res, like, greens and shit still. So,
well, the thing is, as well, is that a lot of people, a lot of guilds might also heavily buy just the mats on week one. They just pay the super inflated market rate and just buy and make the good craft gear, and then you're good. Because you don't need much. You need, what, like, a couple pieces for a lot of people, and then you're good.
The good gear comes from rep, though, with Hyjal, I believe, right?
Is it rep? I can't remember, but yeah, I think you do need a little bit, and then you need to buy, like, I tell you what, though, the Primal Shadow is probably good investment right now, guys. Good investment. I hope I didn't just ruin the market, because after the podcast the price goes probably up like twice as much,
probably.
like the good old like dazzling longsword after the podcast.
That was so funny.
It literally jumped up like four times in price after that.
Don't even use it enough anyway now.
Yeah. Well, the problem for me now, I don't use it mostly just because I don't want another shiv button. I have too many shiv buttons already, and I just like, oh man, I gotta find a fourth shiv button to keep using it.
I forgot who it was. Somebody was talking about what their weapon swap macro was. It was like mouse wheel up, down, and control mouse wheel up, down were their weapon swaps. I was like, holy shit.
Down. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. But that's like a prime real estate. Mouse wheel up and down. That's like my focus setting buttons. I need that quick focus swap.
Whatever like works for people. Like, keybinds are actually one of the craziest things. Because
keybinds,
I don't think you like swap to somebody else's keybinds that easily.
Have you heard of Reality's keybinds?
No.
He uses space and I think it's like caps lock to for his strafe keys. So he doesn't have anything, like, he doesn't have the WASD bound to normal movement. He uses, like, strafe and caps lock. And then that frees up all his keys in between for, like, WASD for spells and everything else. It's very weird, but it oddly, when you think about it, it works in a way because he can still do all his other movement and such, like his strafing and movement. But it's just very weird. He's the only one I know who uses, like, space and caps lock to do strafing.
How does he jump?
His jump is R. Doesn't that defeat the purpose, though, of moving the space? Because R is a prime real estate key. R is like a really, really good key. I like my R. R is like one of my shiv buttons.
R is my shiv, and then my weapon swaps are control R, shift R, and alt R.
Hey, same. Oh, that's interesting. We actually end up on the same shiv key. A rare bonding moment.
Oh, my God. What's your stealth key?
at least it's not as bad as Mouth. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Mouth on Chan stream, but that guy didn't have strafe bound until recently.
Really? Was he keyboard turning?
He was mouse turning. Yeah, he was mouse turning. So you press the two buttons to turn and such. So when he's kiting and like trying to line of sight,
he's steering.
He's steering, and his point of view, he can't see anything because he's got to like literally like turn with his mouse and move and such. It was the most scuffed experience if you ever watched his point of view.
Did he have turn bound to A and D?
No.
Oh, God.
He was just doing everything with mouse. He was just doing everything with mouse.
Technically, you really don't need strafe bound if you're going to use right click plus A and D. But I just made strafe A and D and freed up Q and E. Like, yeah, it feels a lot better. Unfortunately, I don't really get the privilege of unbinding S because I play tanks. So S is a very important key for tanks. Being able to backpedal into corners and shit like that is,
I mean, even as a rogue, it still has uses the old S key sometimes, because sometimes you're range kiting or like rupture kiting or something like that.
Yep. Unlike warriors and shit like that. Yeah. Just make sure you're in the dead zone. That stuff, people give you shit for it, but it's the S key is actually like a decent key to have. Just don't fucking backpedal in stupid situations where you shouldn't be backpedaling. Just slowly back up.
Okay. We got sidetracked by a little PvP talk, but anything else you want to talk about Black Temple before we move on? Or
it just seemed really easy. I do hope they're buffing it. A lot of the encounters seemed like they were pretty trivial. I do remember it not being like incredibly hard. I think like the biggest holdup that I had in the entire game of playing TBC was Kael'thas when he was released. He was just like impossible. And then Murru. Murru was the other one. Murru was like disgustingly hard in Sunwell. Like, oh, basically impossible.
Actually, here's the question. What do you think is the appropriate level of hardness? Like, if you could compare, like, give an example of a raid encounter so far that has launched and you felt like, okay, that's the appropriate level of hardness. Because some people will say, like, oh, they want it super, super, like, really, really hard. But a lot of the times you don't actually want it crazy, crazy hard. You want it hard, but not just stupid RNG hard. Like, a lot of people, the old school Vash with the mind control, while it may be slightly too easy now, potentially, the mind control did make it harder. And people don't like RNG mechanics, but they like it harder in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is, like, appropriate hard level?
I think there's enough, like, in Morrowgrim, there's still risk of the tank dying, right? He does a lot of damage just to the single target, while simultaneously he does raid damage. People have to not heal Warlocks and let him do it. And so there's, like, a period where everybody has to play appropriately. And then it's on, like, a very few select people, the Paladin in particular, to carry the fight. So I think it's fine to have, like, one or two or maybe even three people have agency in a fight. And then everyone else has to like do their job, but there's still risks of things going poorly. Now, Morrowgrim does have some RNG elements of like who gets graved, right?
Yeah.
Paladin gets graved, shit like that. But it's not as frequent as something like Vaj, where things could go incredibly wrong off mind controls, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that in my opinion, it's like that.
Ooh, I like what someone in chat said, Vaj, but with CC-able mind controls, so you can actually counter the RNG a little bit better. And such, because I find like the Vash is fun, but like people say in chat, you don't actually want like full, just like super, super insanely hard content, because it does kill like the non-hardcore guilds really hard when things are too hard. But then you also don't want things too easy. But then you also don't want things to have too much RNG mechanics, because I think everyone's been there where they've done Morrowgrim and they get just the worst RNG ever on a Murloc wave where your tanks or like all your tanks get hit, or all your kites get hit, or all your healers get hit, and suddenly you just wipe and it feels really bad because you just got RNG'd.
Dude, my fucking my rogue was doing really well in an SSC, like overall, like doing fucking really fucking well. And then on Lady Vaj phase 3, the MCs go out and Lady Vaj turns and one shots me and the Fury Warrior, or I guess maybe he was Arms. And we both go like, what the fuck just happened? Like the main tank didn't get shock blast or anything like that. He got cycloned by an MC target because he couldn't interrupt it. And the druid got MC'd and just cycloned the main tank. So it turned and bap, bap, just killed two people. And I was like, holy shit. I had actually never seen that happen before. Because, like, she won't stay on the fucking cyclone target. It's just, ugh. So shit like that is always a little bit frustrating, but as long as it doesn't happen consistently. I do think, though, that, like, yeah, Sam Sasquatch is saying Vaj was not fun for 80% of guilds. I get that. That's why I didn't say, like, my level is Vaj. My level is, like, Morrowgrim, right? Where if you do things correctly, it's fine. You can add, like you said, artificial difficulty by trying to do things faster. And so it's at least engaging.
Wait, what about prefix KT? Prefix KT anyone? no one wants prefix KT.
No, because the aggro drop was like a mechanic that was just frustrating.
Yeah.
You had to like, yeah, that I think was not appropriate. Like,
it says not appropriate. You're saying it's not appropriate when the mobs just randomly drop aggro and kill everyone?
I guess I'll put it this way. I want as we get gear for the encounter to get easier, not for the encounter to stay the same difficulty or be even harder. For example, Lady Vaj is actually harder the more geared you are before, because if my fucking warrior who's decked to all fucking shit gets MC'd, he turns and like starts clapping melees, right? And like, yeah, I know I can like pull him off as like the prop paladin, but when you get to a point where people are like, yeah, like shitting on people in melee like really quickly, or they're killing themselves on your shield as a paladin. You're just like, wait a second, hold on, stop hitting yourself. You want it to be in a place where the gear matters. Like KT, it was like the difficulty of that fight, no gear was ever going to make that easier through like the burn phase of all the MCs going out. People have more dodge and stuff. It just, yeah, I really think that shit is has no place. It should get easier over time. That's all.
But yeah, I think I generally agree. I think people just don't like, they don't like losing to an RNG mechanic that they feel like shouldn't have happened, where they don't have control. At least that's what I've seen. A lot of people don't like not having control of something and then just losing just because, oh, we rolled the dice the wrong way, you got unlucky, bad luck.
So you want it to be like clearable by not everybody, but like still like above average guilds. We've seen what it's like when the game is difficult and what happens to it. Like if you wanted a difficult to play game, you go play retail, because there's a lot of things that you have to do in retail, a lot of mechanics, dodging, right? Those types of things. And it doesn't even do as well as classic, because classic people want to be able to kill content, right? You have to like tread that fine line of people can kill the content and feel good about it, and it's challenging enough that they feel rewarding. It feels rewarding to clear. Not it's hard for the sake of being hard. I mean, it's why people were speedrunning in the first place, is the stuff is easy and you just want to make it harder. So I think that's kind of fine.
I mean, this kind of goes into what we can talk about next, which is the nerfs to, so the current the raid nerfs. What are your general thoughts here? Because realistically, this does make the content very, very trivial, obviously. So for people that don't know, a whole bunch of nerfs went in, obviously. If you're raiding right now in TBC, you know. SSC, TK, mob HP has tanked a lot, is going down a lot. You can, a lot of the trash just dies very, very fast. A lot of the bosses, the mechanics got nerfed, and they're easier in some cases as well. And there's a lot less HP on them in some cases. And there's been a very vocal minority that's been saying it's too easy now, or it's the content just is not fun anymore. Personally, I think, look, we've had, how many months is it? Like 3 months? How long have we been in phase two array? Honestly, we've had the harder raids already. And at this point, we're kind of heading into phase three. I think it's important to keep in mind that Blizzard is doing these changes because there's the dad guilds that are just dying, and servers are just dying. Guilds are not able to clear the content. And these nerfs are there to try to save those guilds and also make it easy for next phase, when you're coming in and you're going to have to attune people and all this other stuff to try to catch people up so that they can actually do phase three. So in my mind, I actually don't mind the nerfs. Like, obviously, it is very zugzuggable. Anyone that actually has done the raids this week will tell you that, that there's almost no penalty. If you're a good guild, you can lose like a third of your raid and still just beat the boss just fine. It's like, it's not even a challenge right now. But on the same level, like, are we really that worried if it's towards the end of the phase and the raids aren't a challenge anymore for the good guilds? I don't know. But what are your thoughts, Irene?
I've been able to do them twice already, and it is super easy. Like, not only are HP values nerfed pretty much across the board, a lot of mechanics are just different and not hard at all. And there's a lot of things now that are present that let you cheese, in a sense. Like, there's apparently a way to reset FLK, and he has no ads. So you just killed it, just him. You like reset him, and then it's like boom. It's just him. For KT, you clear up to Void Reaver and Solarian, and then you do KT, and then you use KT weapons on Solarian to one phase her, and you can make it to Void Reaver in time if you're really fast and have rocket boots on. But you just clear to all of them, and then you just take the KT weapons to those things, and they just make it really trivial. So all logs are invalidated, by the way, by this, but nobody cares about logs right now. So yeah, there's a lot of things that I think are just, it makes it no fun, right? It makes it no fun for me. But I feel like I understand why they're doing it, right? It's so that people can play catch up. The attunements are gone. People can play gear catch up. It's not as stressful to swap characters. As someone who has now attuned six characters to SSC and TK, fuck that shit. I never want to do it again. Like, I hate that. And I'm glad it's gone. So I think it's too severe is what Zenathria says. I agree a little bit that it's a too overboard, but it really is just like foolproof at this point. It's just, it's too easy. I understand this is the state that it should be in for like next phase, because you don't want to be spending hours inside of SSC and TK, right? These are like 40 minute instances now without even trying. And I think that that's like an acceptable amount of time, and people are going to go in and they're going to kill like, you're going to kill like Lady Vaj, and you're going to kill Morgrim for like, if you know, if you need serpent coil stuff. So, but you can do that now and you don't have to spend a whole bunch of time there. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Right. But I don't know how far away BT Hyjal is. If it's like 4 weeks away, this seems like pretty egregious. If it's like 2 weeks away, then I'm more okay with it. Because I do not want to do this version of SSC TK on six characters for 4 weeks. I don't want to run 24 TK SSCs like this. I really characters. Don't.
This sounds like a Zyrene problem to me.
This is a Zyrene problem. Six this is characters. Very much so. A Zyrene problem. This is a me problem. You asked me what I think. Me think from my perspective. It's just not a fun version. Like, people were bored by like Gruul and Magtheridan 25 man instances. They're like 25 man instances and Karazhan. This is what, like, I am more bored now of SSC TK than I was of Gruul Magtheridan in phase one. Because it's just, these things are, they're pinatas. It actually feels like everybody in your raid has full world buffs all the time, but without like the numbers. Like, you know when like the, God, you know when the Colossus, the Underbog Colossus like die?
Yeah.
And then they spawn all the little guys? Those things like used to just be able to seed them for a bit. Now they're just gone in like 4 seconds. And I shit you not, it's legitimately like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And those platforms that have like the Shatterers and the Honor Guards and the Priestesses, all the little technicians coming in, they just fucking die super fast.
Yeah.
We had one mage kill all the Murlocs on Morrowgrim. We told everyone else not to do any damage to them, and just one mage was able to kill them all. It's they have 18k HP.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's what I've noticed the most is that the less HP has really made a lot of phases and mechanics really just like not even a thing anymore.
Yeah.
So like on Vash,
we killed Vaj.
Yeah, yeah. The poison. We were like, wait, we, like
yeah, before
the poison.
Single one.
The poison. I think we saw like two patches of poison come down once, and then that was it. And we were like, oh, okay, yep. I guess poison isn't a thing on this fight anymore.
Yeah, I remember like. The entire time my guild is like, this is what the fuck, they destroyed her, she's gutted, she's like at 2%, 3%, and I'm just like, here comes the first spore back, guys. Like, and it's really funny because I looked up and the first one always comes from the entrance, and I see it like come a little bit, and then she dies and it just disappears. I'm like, yep, we literally killed her before the first spore bat thing came. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
But it's actually weird because like you look here and it's like, how much was she nerfed by? 20%. So it's crazy to me that that was just such a large impact, is 20% of her HP, because she comes out at the same percentage, right? But that value is lower, so you're really only having to do like 20% of her HP instead of like 25 or something. I don't even remember compared to like what she had before. But it's not that massive, or it shouldn't have been that massive, but they might have changed other things too.
I mean, the KT
no MCs is a ton more DPS. That is true. Yeah, the fact that people don't get MC'd is a lot more DPS. That is very true. And she doesn't get healed and stuff.
Yeah. The KT adds phase three. Oh, actually, even just Thaladred, right? My guild pulled Thaladred, and we had to tell people, don't DPS it yet. Don't DPS Thaladred yet. We got to pull Thaladred to where he needs to die, because if you guys start DPSing, he's going to die in the wrong spot, because he's going to die instantly. So everyone don't DPS until we actually pull him to the right spot first.
It wasn't that bad in Who, the guild that I play in on Wednesdays, because what they've been doing is they've been killing Thaladred on the platform for like weeks now, because it was like the speedrun strat of you don't clear the whole room, right?
Yeah.
You clear like one pack, leave the other pack up, leave the one in the back up, and then you just go in and then you kill Thaladred on the platform. So yeah, the advisors are just, they're a joke now, which...
I mean, it's interesting that they went through with all of these nerfs, because at first we thought we were just getting like the KT and Vash, just the basic nerfs, just very minor nerfs to just the advisors, and then the Vash like MC. Like we didn't know anything about all these like HP nerfs and all the trash nerfs and all that. I wonder if that was planned or if it's something they added or what happened there, but it seems like in between they just decided to do all these extra nerfs as well. Which is interesting.
Some mechanics targeting is like different too. Like the spore bats that charge in the first few packs before Hydros, they like charge me now as the tank, and I don't know what's up because I'm the one pulling, so they should be on me, but I get charged by them sometimes. I don't know why, and I'm the one tanking them, which is really annoying because getting knocked down while you're tanking three things can fuck with threat just a tiny bit. Yeah. But,
I mean, this.
Yeah, it doesn't randomly kill somebody walking in late, which is good, but it's just strange.
This is one of those things. Alar's where, a weird one. Oh yeah, Alar just goes clockwise around the platform now, and the bomb barely like does all that. It isn't even scary anymore.
Yeah, you spread out for Meteor now.
Yeah, you spread out for Meteor and the bomb, and it's
I add spawn on the bottom floor every time that Alar changes platforms.
Yeah.
It's like,
It's like a lot of these changes, it feels like if they just had a little bit more communication and we had a better idea of how long we'd be doing this, it would give us a lot better context of how to discuss whether it's too far or not. Cuz like you said, if this is just for a couple of weeks, not a big deal, really. Like it's just a couple of weeks, guys, and then we go into phase three. But if this is for like a month, 6 weeks or something, then maybe a little bit too easy for too long, because people need something like some sort of challenge. I know like phase two wasn't challenging already, but this is complete easy mode, which like Zyrene, I said, I understand why they do it, but at the same time, doing this for like 6 weeks would be way too long to be doing it at quite this level of easy mode.
The honor guards have the same HP as Thaladred, Telonicus, and Lord Sanguinar. They literally have like the same HP as a heroic 5-man boss. It's like, hello? I don't get it. So yeah, they definitely spent time on these nerfs too. And I get it. I really do. But you got to have a carrot at the end of the stick for everybody, you know? Like for why, so Alinis was in the chat and he was saying like he doesn't even use haste pots anymore. And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't seem worth it to like use consumes. It's like time to save money for BT already. But people liked like farming gold, like deep down, people like farming gold to get consumes, to you have a bunch of stuff that they show up to raid with when they're competitive or trying to parse or whatever. And they like popping those consumables to beat content. And when it's no longer fun to pop consumes to beat content, then it all goes to like, I guess it's a stick with no carrot on it there, where you're not chasing anything anymore. So you're kind of just waiting for BT.
I guess the big question is how long of this is so long that it has the reverse effect, because right now these changes are coming in for catch-up convenience for the dad guilds and such, But then if they go too far with the changes, it like the skill tips, and suddenly it's like the hardcore players who are now like, well, this isn't fun at all now. And then like the question is, how long of this would be so long that the hardcore players start quitting instead? Because they're just like, oh, well, this isn't fun at all now. And I don't have the answer for that. Honestly, I don't know how long is it. But I think I'm more surprised that they didn't do like half of these, like half nerfs, like that they didn't do the Vash and KT nerfs originally and then did some of the stuff on this list. But it just feels like when they put all of them in at once, it was just like, well, now it's just loot pinatas for everyone.
Exactly. Big loot pinata, the entire instance. Like you can do this instance in greens and blues. Like the only person who needs gear in your raid is literally like the tank, and that's it.
Yeah.
God, it's so to answer the question of like how long is too long, I feel like if by the 28th we don't know when BT and Hyjal are coming out, that I think is a big problem. Because like it's the 16th right now, the 21st is the next reset. I hope that they announce it then and say that 2 weeks from now is going to be when it happens, because that's kind of what they did last time. Is they gave us like two resets of arena points, right? From that point, last time they gave us like 10-day warning or something.
Yeah, I remember, yeah, it wasn't 2 weeks. Yeah, it was like 10 days.
I remember being a little sad.
Yeah,
about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 10-day warning. I hope that by the 21st they say, hey, 2 weeks, and then it comes out on the 4th or the beginning of January. That's my hope and expectation. But I think what's probably going to happen is it'll probably be announced on like the 28th, and it'll maybe be the 11th of January. So we're looking at like
4 weeks.
Yeah, like 4 weeks, which, yeah, that's four resets, which that's my limit. That's my limit. Like, that's my personal limit where I'm just like, I feel like if I have to clear this content on six characters for 4 weeks, that's my limit there, where I'm like, I will just not do that. I just don't want to. So yeah, it's like, I don't want to at that point. So I wouldn't want to like clear this stuff.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if towards the end, some guilds are doing it where they only go in and they kill like two bosses and they're like, okay guys, and then we just have like signups for the raids. If it is getting to the end of the phase and it's been going on for 4 weeks, people are just like, okay, well, you can sign up if you guys actually need loot from SSC or TK or whatever, and we'll only go and do those bosses and then leave.
You know what's gonna be interesting is people are already holding Arcatrazes and selling the guy in Arcatraz, the Seer Uldo or whatever it is, that quest. So,
oh, the Tumen stuff.
Yeah, some people have Arcatrazes and like they sell you summons to Arc and a cleared Arcatraz up to that guy.
Woof. And woof. I hate that instance.
They're making some money. There's actually, I believe on Fairlina, there's mages hanging out by Akama to give you portals to Shadrath. Arcatraz is like the biggest chore right now in the attunement. Everything else is just like, don't fucking forget. And that's the big, that's a scary thing is, you know how like the attunement for SSC TK were like heroics. So like if you failed it for some reason, somehow, like maybe Milhouse died or something, you could at least do it the next day. If the hardest ones were like Nightbane and Magtheridan and Groll, because if you missed that kill that week, or you didn't loot it or something or forgot, there's no way to get it. So you have to wait until next week. Here, you have to do that with SSC and TK, and it's literally going to change the order in which we do the instances right now, because we've been doing TK first in almost all my guilds and then SSC, and now you have to swap it and be like, okay, you know, everybody, make sure you click this guy FLK after FLK. And then when you go to Shadow Moon afterwards, just get a summon to TK afterwards. Make sure you use the Ash Tongue Cowl. There's people in my guild who like still have forgotten to use the Ash Tongue Cowl on Alar, and they always forget afterwards. And they're like, oh, shit. And then they put it on for the rest of the instance just to be a fucking Draenei. So, yeah, the BT attunement chain is actually quite long. It's interesting because I knocked it out on all of my characters very quickly. It just takes a little bit of time. It's not that long. The hardest part is getting an Arcatraz to that point, which people will be selling. And hopefully, you know, for them making some money, because that's a service I would legitimately buy.
I just hope that Blizzard says something soonish, and just like some communication would be really nice here, so that people can start planning, and like at least then we have a clue, because like the other big question mark is arena season. Like when's that ending, guys? We have no idea. Do we just get like 10-day head start again? Like what's going on there? Because it felt like they scuffed up the last time they did the arena announcement. So it feels like all they have to do this time is just add an extra week to the announcement so that we have a little bit more heads up. And then people can plan properly. Because, yeah, if they don't give a little bit more head start this time for like the arena announcements and the season announcements and the phase announcements, it just feels like they just haven't learned anything from the last phase. And it should be, honestly, a really easy fix to just be like, hey, guys, let's just announce everything a week earlier instead of just last-minuting it, and then everyone panics and is stuck. But I mean, this all ties down into a topic that is interesting, the community council, Zyrene.
Mm-hmm. I was literally just looking at that, and I was like, this is probably a good segue.
Yeah, a good segue to the community council. So I assume you didn't get into the community council, Zyrene. I don't see any long posts from the old Zyrene on the community council list or in the intro list.
Yep. Nope. I'm not on that.
Honestly, what saddens me about the community council is it feels like it's shaping up to what everyone expected it to be, but what like we were hoping wouldn't happen. With the community council, is that it feels like it's shaping up to be just another thing that Blizzard does that doesn't change anything, and is just like just this thing that they can be like, hey, look, guys, we're communicating and listening, but really nothing changes, nothing happens with it. It's just another thing. And what I didn't like originally from the community council. So for people that don't know, obviously community council is Blizzard's initiative to take, I think it's 100 people. And they have a private, well, not private, it's public for the people to read, forum where these 100 people can now put in suggestions, communicate with the devs, just talk to them, etc., etc. And then the devs and Blizzard can talk back. And then they can have a discourse and communication line with Blizzard to kind of fix the obvious issues that everyone's been saying from the start, is that Blizzard has horrible communication. Mm-hmm. But it seems, at least from how they launched the community council and what I've seen so far on the community council, is that I don't know what criteria they use for the qualifications for being on the council or for suggesting things. It feels, at least from looking at the introduction thread and such, is that they just were like, okay, they're like Noah's Ark. They're collecting one of every kind. And that seems to be more the criteria. It's like, oh, we have this guy PvP's. Okay, we'll grab one of him. This guy does this heroics. Okay, we grab one of him. We'll grab one of them. It seems like they just had like a checkbox of, okay, this person does this thing differently. And they try to include everyone. But it feels like those qualifications don't necessarily mean that these people necessarily know how to make good suggestions, are able to give positive, like useful feedback, or know how to like even word what they want in a way that's useful for the community to read and talk about. It feels like, yeah, they just like, okay, this guy has like some sort of criteria for like PvP or for PvE or something, and then he's been on the Blizzard forums for a certain amount of time, okay, we'll just grab him. And it feels like they didn't go into the back end of that guy and be like, okay, does this guy make good suggestions? Is he someone who like might know how to fix the obvious communication problems or the obvious problems with the game? And at least that's been my initial look at community council. What are your thoughts, Zyrene?
I think that the community council is already off to a really bad start because they're treating the versions of WoW as if they're the same game. Like, that's the thing I don't like, is I actually think there should be a separate community council for Classic, because if you look at like the people where it's like introduce yourself here, there's like two Classic people in the whole thing. Yeah. Right? They're treating Classic WoW players the same as if you were the classic WoW players have the same representation as people who have or are mount collectors or RPers, right? There's like two classic WoW guys. There's like two RPers. There's like two straight PvPers, but everybody else is all retail. So it's being treated like classic WoW isn't its own thing. It's a subset of WoW, which in my opinion, it's not. And that's the problem. And it's really funny because the people who are like from classic have like the biggest posts. It's like really funny. They have like the biggest posts on the introduce yourself for the most part. So I just thought that was funny because the people are very passionate about it, but simultaneously it's going to get lost in the noise, right? If you don't have these things separated and it's the same issue I have with like the Twitch category. I get it. Having, you know, WoW be one category brings more viewers in because it's like, hey, look at how it'll bring like the WoW game up the list, right? Because you just have two games being played under one banner, whereas they're not the same game. If you click on WoW on Twitch, you don't know if you're gonna like get a classic or a retail. People come into my stream and be like, hey, is this TBC or is this retail? And it, I don't know, it feels strange that they are making it an afterthought to retail in my mind. That's what I don't like.
Yeah,
it definitely feels like that's the treatment here.
Yeah, when it launched, I think I said your message was like, do you see many classic people on this list? Because I can't really find. I was looking through the introduction list when Community Council launched. I was like, oh, okay, let's see what classic representation we got. And then I scrolled through the list and I was like, I see like one person so far and everything. Like, it's really disappointing when I go through the Community Council topics and I see like, oh, like someone's talking about a topic that maybe is relevant. I click on it and it's like, oh, then he starts talking about like retail stuff and like problems with like the faction balance in retail and things. And I'm like, okay, sure, that's a problem. But what about classic? I don't know like where the classic representation or talk is. And honestly, I think a big problem with the Community Council is the format of it as well. If nothing else, when I'm trying to scroll through and see like what are people talking about, what problems are they bringing up and addressing, it feels like it's really messy. It's just like walls of text upon walls of text, and I can't differentiate what is like good feedback and bad feedback and what people are trying to get the point across sometimes. It's just super, super messy. It just reminds me of like when people post a wall of text in my YouTube comments and I'm like, okay, I can't read this. This is like a 2,000 word essay without like paragraphs, without like differentiators in like the topic list and things. It's just really, really hard to digest, honestly. Even as someone not on the council trying to look in and see like, oh, what are people talking about? I have no idea how to actually go through this in an efficient way. It's just, yeah, it's just really, really, really messy. What worries me though is that they haven't really addressed anything yet either. The only blue responses so far has been to stuff in retail. The only blue post has been just regarding retail. So again, even though they said like classic was included in this, it feels like no one said anything about classic.
Yeah,
and
and if you go to like the introduction stuff, it's actually interesting because the I don't know if they're adding people slowly or what's going on or if people are slow to find their invitation. But in the introduce yourself here, it starts 8 days ago. And like, you know, a lot of people posted 8 days ago initially. And then it gets to a point where it's like 7 days, 6 days, 5 days. And then there's a break after 5 days. Nobody posts on day four. And then it's day three. And then there might have been like a second wave, but a lot of people started posting 3 days ago. And that's when more like blue posts started popping up of people who were on the Blizzard side of things saying like, we have a combat designer for classes and specs. We have another combat designer. We have a guy who's like a lead encounter designer who's in charge of like sets and stuff like that. Azerite artifacts, quality assurance dude. And then we have a guy who's a classic producer, who was the most recent one, which was 1 day ago. So I don't know if this is like they're adding people that they think should be added over time and the community or the council is still forming or what. But Yeah, it's a. I think that you could accomplish more with having Agrend have a conversation with four or five people from Classic and having just like a small Classic council or community council. Like, this council, in my opinion, is way too big. I understand they want all of the ideas, but the filter here is just it's too much to parse through. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think I've said it before where one of the reasons that I don't read a lot of, I never started, I guess when I started, I would look at YouTube comments and then I'd be like, oh, why doesn't this person like me? What's wrong with my style and stuff? And then if you adjust to them, you make other people who weren't leaving comments go like, hey, why'd you change this? I liked it better before. So when you're changing something and like, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease, it might cause other problems. And the issue that I think they might run into here is I don't know if they're going to be able to parse the information correctly. And my fear is that they're jumping into a lake of shit for a candy bar at the bottom, is how I'll put it, right? Is you don't want to jump into a lake of shit just for that candy bar, right? I don't want to subject myself to all of the YouTube comments just to find that one good one. I'm not going to read through a cesspool of Reddit comments and insults just to find that one good one that actually has constructive feedback. Here, it's like there's so much shit. And you know how people say like opinions are like assholes? Everybody's got one. Yeah, everybody's got a fucking opinion on the council. That's why they're there. But these opinions are incredibly long-winded. Like one of the big things about being in quality assurance and game design is being able to get your point across succinctly, like very quickly. When you go to these threads, they are long as fuck. Like,
yeah.
If you list the issues and stuff like that, it's totally fine, but make it as short as possible. Like, you are literally sending messages to devs, right? Try to make these as digestible as possible, and if they need more elaboration, then provide it, right?
Yeah,
because I used to do QA for Riot, and one of the things that you need to do, and this is like definitely one of my weaker spots, was when you're giving written feedback, make it real fucking quick. Like, make it short, get straight to the point. Don't describe like what happened or anything like that or what made you think this, right? We don't care about your anecdote or your side of it. Just as from a design perspective, take as little of their time as possible, right? I actually think here, like, it says, welcome to the WoW Community Council and stuff like that. Like, these posts, I feel like this doesn't have, like, a rule. I mean, maybe these guys all got individual emails or something, but, like, rules of engagement or something like that, right? Like, you know, keep in mind, you're talking with devs. We want to hear your side of things, but make sure that when you're posting something, that it is as easy to read as possible, right? Exactly. Is it easy as read as to possible? Easy to read as possible, right? Patch notes of feedback. Yeah. Right. It's so much easier. You're actually going to be way more effective in communicating if you're able to make it easy. Like, God damn, dude, click on some of these threads. Just go randomly click on them and you will see like they're exhausting. They are exhausting.
Yeah.
They're exhausting.
Yeah, I tried to read some of them. It's like I'm just like wall of text after wall of text, and I don't know what's relevant to the actual problem, and people are just discussing things. To me, it's like it's been no different than just reading the normal WoW forums in a lot of cases. 100%. I'm like, oh, why is this any different from the WoW forums? Like, I don't know what qualifications these people have, or if they're giving good feedback, or if this like wall of text in front of me is actually useful. It's just it honestly feels like it's just not usable in its current format. It's just not useful. Like it's not going to accomplish anything because the feedback isn't in a useful format and like questionable usefulness at the same time.
Maybe I haven't like looked through it enough, but I don't think I've really gotten any good answers to, I guess, any questions I've had, right?
I mean, even just like the obvious one right now is like, hey guys, when's phase 3 coming? When's phase 3 coming? Yeah. Like, just a simple post like that would be great. And then the Blizzard can be like, oh yeah, this coming in 4 weeks, guys, or 3 weeks, or at least give us something, like a date or something. That'd be a great thing to have on the community council right now.
Well, like, that's the thing, is why I think it's so much more effective to just have a small council that is its own thing for Classic. Because, like, these are all problems that have nothing to do with Classic. And the Classic game producer, like Agrend, where his intro is, "I'm a friendly neighborhood WoW Classic game producer, and I've been at Blizzard for over 12 years. In my current role as a producer, I help plan and oversee WoW Classic releases, maintain development schedules, and provide day-to-day support to the fantastic WoW Classic team." They literally have the guy who's in charge of fucking, like, patch cadence. Like, posting. You could probably directly address this guy and be like, "Hey, there's been some issues, at least on my end, with release cadence in TBC, right? Like, what are your guys' goals here? Why do you feel that it's comfortable to announce things only like 2 weeks before, right? 10 days last time? What are you weighing when you're like actually setting a release date?" At least the Classic community would be much better served by having a roundtable discussion without all of this other noise.
Yeah,
because I feel like this is a lot, and I almost feel like the WoW Classic community is going to be better off with more subsections, because this is literally general forums.
Yeah, they took 500 topics and just jammed it into one, and I have no idea what I'm reading half the time.
Like if you went to WoW Classic WoW community forums, right? Or community council forums, there should be like sub forums where it's like, "Hey, welcome to like the community council. There's a PvP topics, Classic topics." Just even the setup of this is worse than a Discord.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was reading. I was like, man, I could make a Discord server, just like a public Discord server, and just like block off posting access to everyone except the people on the council, and it would be more readable than the format of community council right now. It's just so messy.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I think the idea is good. I think communication is always good. I'm happy that they're doing this. I just want it to be good. And I want it to be effective, not just for our sake, but for their sake too, because they aren't going to be able to parse all the bullshit. And I'm looking at here going like, you guys, we talk about like how little there are, in terms of people who like will work on WoW or WoW Classic. How much of Agren's time do you want him to spend parsing this forum, reading shit, looking for just Classic topics? And if they're not easy to find, then he doesn't read them, right? Like, this guy's time is valuable. He's got other stuff to do, including leading two full 10 out of 10 raid teams, apparently. Hopefully that's pre-nerf. He was the guild's warrior main tank. Oh, he main swapped a hunter. Yeah, he like gives you his story. And so like he does play the game. He knows warrior Omega Wall. So I feel like you should definitely find a way to better serve him when like addressing Blizzard here, so that he can do his job better, right? And that the community council can actually function. I'm saddened that it's going the way it is, because I thought it was going to be something where like, oh, I'd love to read these topics, but I just have no interest in like 8 out of 10 of these.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is this setup for it, in my opinion, isn't good either, because even though 8 out of 10 topics are irrelevant to me, I feel like that's going to be the same for everyone else. There's going to be the PvPers on retail who come in here, and 8 out of 10 topics for them are fucking, they don't care. There's going to be the RPers who 8 out of 10 of these topics don't apply to them, right? There's people who are like mythic PvEers. 8 out of 10 of these topics, they don't give a shit about PvP, Shadowlands gear progression. Like, find a way to get people to the directory they want to see the comments about their thing. And that will also give you a better barometer on what's not being represented in your community council. Because if you make forum topics like PvP, mythic raiding, or mythic retail PvE, something like that, right? Classic. And then you see there's only like one classic post or two classic posts. It means get more classic guys. If you see something where it's like an RP thing and there's like nobody talking about that, is that something that like you need more RP people or opinionated people, or maybe it's just not something that there are any issues with on Blizzard's side? Right. So I feel like it'll help them parse information on what they have and what they need. Because if this is all they do and they send out these invites, I don't know if these two guys who are representing Classic are going to continue posting, right? Yeah. I don't know if they're going to continue posting. I don't know what's going to happen. If they phase out, do they ever get tapped on the shoulder and go, hey, you aren't posting a lot of things. How is it, right? Right. How are things going? I don't know if that's going to happen, right? I feel like this is, like I said, the issue is like the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So I want them to be able to run this more effectively. And this just feels like they just slap something down just to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like a smorgasbord of kind of everything. And it goes back to the marketing phenomenon of if people have too much things in front of them, they just shut down. They don't actually like move forward. It's why there's a good example of if you go to the supermarket and they have like a tasting table and they're like, hey, try out this new dumpling thing that we have. But they have 20 varieties of dumplings. They found that people actually look at that and think, I can't decide, I'm not going to do it, or I'm not going to do anything. And they just move on. So they actually found out that like having 3 or 4 is a lot better than having 10 varieties, because people make decisions.
It's a choice paralysis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Choice paralysis. So like, that's what people are having right now, is that it's 100 threads on 500 different things. It's like, as a classic player, I look at this and then I saw like some guy asking for mount collector changes, and I'm looking at it thinking, okay, like I guess he represents the mount collecting community, but I don't want to read about that. Like you said, I that doesn't affect me in the slightest. So it's kind of just like I had this problem with sub forums.
Yeah, sub forums.
It's kind of like I had this problem when I used Wowhead for news as well in the past, when Wowhead just started posting everything in their news, and I was like, this isn't news, I'm just going to stop reading it if you guys keep posting just stuff that is just legit isn't news anymore in the Wowhead news section. So this is the same thing, but on steroids, where it literally is just topic after topic of so much stuff, and every post is just so many. Even when the post suggestions that start off short, like the one I click on right now isn't even that long of a post, but it's like to actually get to the meat of topic and the whole discussion is like I have to go through all of these replies and then contextualize them and see what they're saying, and then see, okay, then try to understand it. It's just so much stuff.
No, I don't think it's very, I don't think it's going to be an effective way to get things done.
Well, I mean, I hope they change it. We'll see. I guess we'll stay posted and see if they change everything in the future. But that's the state of it right now. But yeah, shifting gears, Season of Mastery. Ragnaros was killed, at least.
Yeah.
Ragnaros was killed.
Not hardcore, right?
No, not in hardcore, but on regular. And interestingly, I think someone did the analysis of the timing. You can see how much less people are, like the hardcore community is actually participating in Season of Mastery, because it took a lot longer for the first Ragnaros kills to come in than it did the first time around, right? Because a lot of the people, I call Season of Mastery a lot of tourism. There's a lot of people doing tourism in Season of Mastery. They just kind of hop on, they mess around, they're not really that for
flavor
long
of the month.
Yeah. And you can tell by the amount of people that have even beaten Ragnaros, it's on Warcraft logs, it's 19 Alliance and 3 Horde. And that's literally it, and all of Season of Mastery. And no one else is really, there's been a lot less of that. And it just echoes what I've always said, is that it just feels like they split the community so many ways in Season of Mastery and all this, that it's there's a very low percentage of like long-term players that will stick around and keep playing, and the community gets smaller and smaller and smaller. At some point it just gets less fun because the community just gets really small, that it's just not worth it for a lot of people to hop in, because people look at it, and even now people are talking about the server issue, in that every server except for like the designated PvP server and the designated PvE server are dead. They're already dying. Yeah. And it's only been out for, what, like a month or something. And they're already having massive, massive server issues. Even on the JOM, which is, I'm not saying it's dead. JOM is very much alive. The popular seasonal mastery servers are very much alive. But even on those servers, you can already tell that the population has started to shrink. And like grouping at certain levels has gotten harder and such from talking to people. And it's very worrying. I'd be very worried because looking at the dates, it's been 1 month. 1 month since Seasonal Mastery started and you're already having these population issues. And you're already down to what, like two servers per region. Is you got your PvE and you got your PvP.
Yeah, something that they gotta do is they have to, this is gonna be like completely off of the Seasonal Mastery stuff and kind of a little bit about like TBC, is they just need to fuck with transfers more, you know? Like make the transfer cooldown lower. And make people able to transfer from PvP to PvE servers and vice versa. Because, like, I know some people who feel like they're fucked over right now because they rolled on a PvE server when it was their first character. Because the I believe it's... how is it listed in the thing? Because I remember it used to be... I'm going to log in and go to server list really quickly. Because it used to not say... PvP, yeah, or PvE. Yeah, yeah. Servers are listed as PvP, RP, RP, PvP, and then the PvE servers are normal. They say normal. They don't say PvE, they say normal, right? So because it says normal, the people who are playing the game for the first time assume that these are like the way the game is meant to be played, right? So, but the fact is there's more people who are on PvP servers, but you can't transfer between them. I understand back in the day in Classic and I guess Vanilla, because of the fact that you were PvPing and it was up against your realm and stuff, that being able to go between the servers had a big, or types of servers was a big deal. But I feel like it's not a big deal anymore. So I feel like that should, they should open things up like that for even Season of Mastery, right?
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, discussing the server issues, even on Season of Mastery, one of the topics I had listed was that the hardcore community and the regular WoW community are really clashing right now. There's been a lot of complaints from people who... Because for people that don't know, right now there's a whole Road to Ragnaros challenge for the hardcore community. And like one of their rules for their challenge is that they can't group with people who aren't doing the same challenge. Which makes, by the way, grouping very, very rough because they can't group. They can't do like group questing in some places for some of the quests and such. And it just means like people are just going through WoW and they see like, oh, there's Hogger or there's something, let's group for it. And then the person's like, no, we can't. This is part of my hardcore challenge. I can't group with you. I can't like even like really interact properly with you in the world because this is part of my rules. And that's fine for them, but then it just divides the community then. Then they get frustrated and think, well, what's this guy doing? Well, why can't I group with him? And I've seen like a big back and forth between the two sides and they really don't mix well right now because they can't play properly together to the point where I think everyone who's doing the challenge and everyone who's not doing the challenge would rather that all these people just be on their own server and not have it mixed. It seems like that's the way it's going to... If they do Season of Mastery again, if they continue these sorts of things, it seems that what they really need, if they want to have hardcore players, they got to put them on their own server because mixing them up with the regular WoW players just causes so much clashing and then people get frustrated trying to group with each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand that. There's so many things in like the hardcore community that I feel like are... very different than what goes on in the normal community, and normal community has a celebration of grief. So mixing and matching becomes like a big deal. Like, did you see the clip of a guy get killed by an invisible mob?
No. Okay, wait, let me grab that up.
I'm not sure how. What is happening? I'm so confused. What is happening right now?
What is happening?
Am I DC'd, guys?
What is happening? What is happening?
It's just
what is happening?
In the back.
What the fuck?
Oh, that's rough.
So,
yeah.
Is the things from Duskwoods? Oh. Ah. That makes sense. The invisible. Yeah, detect invis. Okay. Yeah. But that guy was like 100% a griefer because his name is Target HC. the troll's name is Target HC. That actually makes sense that he potion of detect invisibility. Then he, okay. Or actually he had a soul stone on him. So he probably had detect invis from a lock. So
yeah. So there's been a lot of that stuff going on. I will say though, it's been interesting. It's been interesting to watch the streamers that have been doing the hardcore stuff have been growing decently. Like, even just Tactics. I actually used to talk to Tactics and hang on his stream from time to time. And Tactics was one of the OG levelers. And he get like 50 viewers or something like that. And then ever since Hardcore came out and Seasonal Mastery, he's blown up to become the latest 1K WoW streamer.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that don't know, when it comes to streaming, if you hit a certain level inside the category, you actually start just growing naturally through Twitch, yes. Which is actually like really, really hard to do. But when you're right at the top, you actually just grow naturally. All he has to do is just stream more hours and people will naturally find him because he's like number, like top row in the WoW category and mm-hmm. people will just click on your stream.
Yeah, so I call it critical mass. When you reach critical mass as a streamer, it carries itself like very easily.
Yeah.
And you'll have natural growth at that point. Because natural growth for the bottom is very, very, very difficult.
Yeah, super.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been interesting to watch and to see how long they last because I don't know, Zyrene, did you see the hardcore stuff that they were doing in Molten Core?
I saw them trash farming.
Yeah. I saw that because all of them were announcing Molten Core. And I was reading the chat and everyone was coming in going, baited, change your title, liar. Because what they were doing is just zoning in and farming Molten Core trash and then zoning back out again mm-hmm. and rinse repeat. Because I will say, like I've said since the start, is that, man, it's been a very good viewing experience generally to watch the hardcore stuff. As long as I'm not playing it, I don't really want to be playing it, but I like viewing it because like everyone else, we live for the death clips to see what happens. Everyone literally only watches the Molten Core Rage with the sliver of hope that someone aggroes too many mobs and like there's a massive wipe, and that's the content everyone's really waiting for.
Yeah, it's an event, you know. Every time, everything is an event. It's always an event.
Yeah,
like every stream, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Part of me though,
really wants to run it down, dude. Like, I could not do this. Like, part of me would just want to ruin it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why I'm like this, but I'm just like, you could be one of 40 people who clears. Like, you could be one of the 40 people who clears hardcore Molten Core. Your name is on the tablet with everyone else, drowned out. Or you could be the guy who pulls all the shit and gets people fucking killed. You could be that guy. Everybody will remember that guy. He'll actually you could be the Leroy Jenkins of hardcore. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I was wondering the other day, if someone's playing the really, really long con and they've just leveled up a hardcore character just for the purpose of when that raid comes, they wipe everyone.
Colonel, I've infiltrated the hardcore.
That would actually be a fascinating. He's been secretly just recording YouTube videos of the entire journey and he just releases it after he's done it.
Oh no, dude.
The most tragic but also the most entertaining content at the same time.
Yeah. I bet they just say it doesn't count and carry on.
Yeah, that's been the other thing with the hardcore community versus the regular welcome me as well, is that I've seen a lot of people, a lot of the friction has been like people have been saying, oh, you got to deal with the lag deaths and such, and hardcore road to rag has their own set of rules, and there's been a lot of people that think, oh, these rules are too easy, you guys got to play actual hardcore, if you die, you die, even if you get griefed. You know what I didn't understand though, as did you see all the PvP shenanigans with the honor being wrong and all that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so yeah, for people that don't know, basically what happened in Season of Mastery is they gave a little bit too much honor or too much rank power or whatever you want to call it in that people ranked up a little bit too fast. So by they were basically like 2 to 3 weeks ahead of schedule. As far as the ranking, it's like they gave double the amount of honor or ranks when they
calculated with like no decay or something like that. I don't remember what it was, but like somebody was ranked 12. People were like ranked 12. Already last week. Before even the reset. So
people there was a lot of people angry. I saw a lot of posts from people who were saying, "Oh, but if they get this fast, won't it make gearing pointless for the rest of Classic?" But when I read those posts, I think I don't think those people have really done the math, because it's early, but we're only talking about like 2 to 3 weeks early. Those people will still be ranked 14 in that 2 to 3 weeks and still be done with seasonal mastery gearing pretty much in the 2 to 3 weeks. Because if you think about it, original rank 14 took, I think it's like 1.5 months. Is that right? Oh, 3 months. 3 months to do. So half is 1.5 months, basically, if it's double the speed, as they say. So even without the mistake, it only saves them, what, like 2 weeks or something. And they'll still be literally done with all rank 14. By the time, which has been like one of the problems people have been talking about in Season of Mastery, is that it's so front loaded that once you're done, like for example, I'm watching I think this is Bobka's footage. Yeah, I'm watching Bobka's footage from Road to Rag, and he's literally in full Dark Mantle, and all he'd need if he was rank 14 as well, he'd have rank 14 weapons, Dark Mantle, and he'd be done until the end of Season of Mastery, basically. He doesn't really need much more gear. He can pick up like off pieces, but it wouldn't even matter. He could just not pick up any more gear and be perfectly good after phase one.
Yep. So, especially for Rogue, like it's because that the phase two gear is like already out from PvP, right? And that stuff carries you like the entire game up until Gressel. So, just the access to the gear, like we knew it was going to be this way, right? Where it was just going to be a lot easier to get all of it. Dark Mantle being in phase one is kind of dumb. I do agree, but it's the way they've decided to run their game. And Season of Mastery for me, just it's not really my game. I understand the thought process behind it, but I think that they should have handled the like PvP stuff a little different too, because I have some friends who are PvPing and are like, you know, rank 12 and all that. Last week, I don't know what they are now, but it's AV ranking immediately, right? It's like immediately, you're just in AV. I actually think that you should have done something like Warsong Gulch was out for 2 weeks, and then AB was out for 2 weeks, and then AV was released 2 weeks later. Because I feel like a lot of the people's experience are wanting to play Warsong. And rank was like having Warsong teams was always fun, you know, for like the top rankers that actually like PvP and all that should be actually, you should give them like a head start if they're actually good at PvP and can like coordinate Warsongs and shit. That's my opinion, at least, because I feel like AV grinding is just very
it takes a lot of skills, Irene, to run to the other end of the map really, really fast.
Yeah, it definitely seems to, but I think they should have made it so it's like, you know, 2 weeks of Warsong, then they release AV, and you can still do Warsong if you want, and then release AV, because I just feel like everybody going to AV immediately. You look at the SOM queues, there's literally like zero Warsong, zero ABs, and there's like 2 or 3 AVs, and that's it.
Yeah, it's been, this is one of those things where like someone on the community council for Season of Mastery could suggest these things, and that'd be like an interesting thing to for them to talk about if it wasn't buried under like 5,000 posts of retail and such. But yeah, these are sorts of things that would be interesting to see the dev talk about or interaction about, see if they can do these in the future.
I do kind of wish that the community council was handled a little bit better, like, or differently. That's just from a Classic side of things.
Yeah. But yeah, you got any other topics, Irene? Because I think that's all I got.
I hope that Black Temple's harder.
Yeah.
I hope Black Temple's harder. If you guys are out there, just make sure that you're getting ready for Mother, that you're getting some Shadow Res, that you're getting Primal Shadows, that you look into that a little bit. If you want to like get some tier pieces that have Shadow Res on it by getting Void Spheres, snag some of that tier that's going to waste. Like if you see like a pair, like a chess piece or something like that, go to waste. I think also Helm, because you can enchant it with Shadow Res, is get another T5 Helm, get another T5 chest, right? Keep your four pieces of Rogue or something, like, and be able to wear other Shadow Res. Always going to be beneficial for your DPS output on that fight. So.
And don't buy Primal Shadows until after I invest more money into Primal Shadows. And then you guys can go inflate the market, please.
How much fire is you aiming for Illidan? It depends, because some of my characters are already in a good spot fire res wise. Where like my paladin has max fire res. Oh, sorry. One of my paladins has max fire res. And then there's two more paladins that I need to gear. And I'm basically shooting for max, but I guess like as a paladin, it's pretty easy, because what I do is I shoot for max. And then if it ends up being like, I'm just resisting everything and getting no mana back, cause I need to take damage to get mana, I just turn fire res aura off. Right. That's kind of my solution. That's what I end up doing.
All right. So one thing, guys, so what I'm planning is, because a lot of the stuff we talk about in the podcast is super, super time sensitive a lot of the times, and sometimes it takes ages for me to get the podcast out. I rescheduled things, so now for, I think, patrons, the podcast will be up like the next day. So right after the podcast ends, I start editing and timestamp everything. So it'll be up the next day for patrons, and then like 2 days after that for regular people. So hopefully going forward, the podcast will be up for people like 2 to 3 days after we record it at the latest on the old YouTubes. And I'm gonna put one clip up a day as well, on the Clips channel. So we're gonna have clips basically, but it's basically just gonna be a podcast divided up into like one segment a day on the Clips channel, so that we actually have some clips going, because that's been on the to-do list for a while. So yeah, look forward to that. We'll have a little Clips channel going. We'll get the little slightly quicker podcast release schedule.
Okay.
But yeah. Thanks for hanging out today, guys. We will see you... I don't know when the next one... Hopefully we have some news. Basically, we just do them when we have news now, because sometimes the TBC news is really sparse. And it takes a while. But I assume we're going to have some stuff in the next couple of weeks, because they got to announce... launching phase 3 and arena season end soon, right? Maybe. So hopefully we got some news coming up, but we will see you guys on the next podcast. Take care.